Hi, guys. I am so ecstatic to be here with you guys. I can't even tell you. I just feel so at home here. I know we are family, and I love when I get this time to come together with you guys and just hear what's going on in your lives and share what's going on in mine. And it's just been awesome. God is so good. And so tonight I have the, we're going to be talking about God's heart. And so anyways, it's been such an adventure praying and studying for this, and God's revealed himself, and I'm so excited to share him with you. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so, so much that you want to bless your people and you want to speak directly to their heart. I pray, Lord God, that you would do that tonight and that you would use me as a willing vessel, Lord. Help me to get myself out of the way and be yielded to your spirit, and that you would guide, Lord, this message, and that you would touch hearts and change lives, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, I would like to open up with a story. And this story is about three boys that were raised by a God-fearing, wonderful woman that took awesome care of them as they were growing up, and she nurtured them and gave them what they needed. And anyways, they grew up, and they actually grew up in had good jobs and made good money, and their mother was old, and they wanted to bless their mother, and each of them thought they knew her heart. They thought, I know my mom's heart, and I'm going to bless her in a special way. So the first son said, I'm going to buy her a Rolls Royce. And she's going to show up to her friends in style, and she's going to just love this gift. And so the second son said, well, I'm going to buy my mom a mansion. You know, we lived in a small house growing up, and she's going to have a house with 10 bedrooms, and she's going to live comfortably. And so the third son said, well, my mom is a God-fearing woman. She's having trouble seeing right now, and so I want to get her a gift that will bless her in that way. And so he researched, and he found in England that they had this bird, that it was a parrot, that someone had taught the entire Bible, and he memorized the entire Bible verse by verse, book by book. But the thing was, is the cost was great, and it was about like $3 million. So he flew over there, bought this bird, and sent it to his mom. A couple weeks later, the three boys got together, and they went to go visit their mom. And the mom looks at them, and she looked at the first son, and she said, oh, honey, thank you so much for the Rolls Royce, but that's not me. I'm not flashy. I don't need this car. I don't really go anywhere, you know. And so I'm going to give it back, but, you know, thank you. Bless your heart. And the second son, she said, oh, thank you, son, so much for this mansion, but I'm one person. I don't need all this room. It's not for me, so I'm going to give that back to you, too. Thank you. Bless your heart. And she looked at her third son, and she said, oh, son, you know my heart. Oh, that chicken was delicious. And so tonight we're searching God's heart, and we want to know God's heart. And in order to do that, we need to know him intimately. And he's revealed enough of his nature for us to know that we will not know him completely or never truly understand him. The more we learn about him, the more we realize how little we actually know. And so it's not until we meet God face to face that we will know exactly who he is and understand him completely. And though we don't understand him completely now, we can spend all of our life getting to know him better and drawing closer to him. And in fact, that is exactly what he wants. And it's blessed me so much searching the scriptures and finding God's heart. It's really blessed me, and I pray that it blesses you too. The psalmist in Psalm 119, he knew this, and he used words like, that I might know, teach me, give me understanding. I seek you with all my heart. And in God's word, he describes himself to Moses. And I wanted to open up first with you there to Exodus 33. Exodus 33, and we're going to start at verse 12. And here there has been trouble with the Israelites. They had already made their golden calf, and Moses had gone down there and found it. Anyways, he goes back to God, and Moses says to God, "You have been telling me lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me." Because God said, "These people are a stiff-necked people. I can't go with you. I don't want anything like that to happen, so I can't go." He said, "You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me from your people and all the other people on the face of this earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name. The Lord, in his presence, I have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I have compassion on whom I have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you will stand on a rock. Then my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." I want you to skip forward on chapter 34 to verse 5. "Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, 'The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to the thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation.' Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped." And here, two things that I really want to point out was, he said, "I know you by name." He was talking to Moses. And something that really grasped me was, he knows me by name. He knows all of you by name. And something that was really hard for me to grasp, I don't know about any of you, but it was very hard for me to grasp. You know, people would tell me, you know, Jesus died for you and he was thinking about you when he was on the cross. And I would think, yeah, he was thinking about me in the sea of faces. I mean, he died for the world. He thought of me as a group. And it was very hard for me to understand he was actually thinking about me. And he was actually thinking about you. And I pray that you're able to wrap your mind around that. God is such a personal God. He knows each detail about us. And he's concerned about us. He knows us by name. And the name is who you are. It's who you are. And he described who he is. He described his character to us, that he is compassionate and gracious, that he is slow to anger. He loves us and is faithful to us. He forgives us, but he also believes in justice for the guilty. And we can learn a lot about God through his names. And I was so blessed to sing that song tonight that we sang. And because I have this here and I feel it was the Lord, if you've never done a word study on God's names before, this will bless you. And if you have done a word study on God's names, just to remember who God is such a blessing. Well, I have Elohim. He is the all-powerful creator. Really quickly, I'm going to turn to Psalm 119. I have it marked here. Psalm 119 and verse 73, it says, "Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands." God is our creator. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are not a mistake. God knit you in your mother's womb. He cares deeply about you. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And I know there's women here that are struggling with fear. They're struggling with anxiety and worry. God is the God of peace. We need to come to him, the Prince of Peace. Jehovah, I might say this wrong, Jehovah Sabaoth. He's the Lord of hosts or the Lord of armies. And some of us are in battle and our armor is worn out. We're tired. But he is the Lord of the battle. He is fighting on our behalf. We need to know this. He's Jehovah Nisi, and the Lord is my banner. This one I didn't understand either. I am a simpleton. I just have to say that I am. I'm not a scholar. God is so good that he gave me this message. I can't even tell you how much I was stretched. But Jehovah Nisi, when I researched this, it's the Lord is my banner. And I thought, well, what does that mean? The Lord is my banner. And, you know, when you're fighting, they have that flag that's held up. And that is their focal point. That is their hope. You know that song, what's that? For the land of the free and the home. Okay, no. Where is it? What's that song where it says, the Star Spangled Banner? Thank you. I told you, I'm not a scholar, okay, guys? Grace. So, you know, that they saw that their flag still stands, you know, and that it was just like, that's such a touching part of the song, to know that our God is our banner. He wants our focal point to be him. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is my companion. This one touches me in a deep way because I've experienced loneliness. I've experienced being by myself and leaning on the Lord. He has been my friend, my companion when I needed him. Adonai, the great Lord and master. Maybe you're struggling with pride and you're not letting him be the master of your life. We need to give him over that control. Elyon, the God most high. Whatever your circumstances, I don't care if you think it's impossible, God can do the impossible. Yahweh, the great I am, the self-existent one. Whatever your need is, he can meet it. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Maybe you are lost tonight. Maybe you've walked away from God, but he is calling you out by name. He is calling you out by name to come to him. He will protect you, the good shepherd. Jehovah Mekidesh, sorry guys, the Lord who sanctifies. And maybe you're in need of forgiveness tonight. He can sanctify you. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. Maybe you're feeling condemned. You have not forgiven yourself. You're not allowing yourself to be forgiven. He is our righteousness. He covers us in robes of righteousness. It's not us, it's him. We need to know this. El Roy, the God who sees. Sometimes we think no one understands. We're working behind the scenes. We're not up in the limelight. And we think, what am I doing this for? God sees. I want you to know that. He understands. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, God Almighty. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Maybe you're struggling with finances or some other thing. God is our provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Maybe you're sick tonight, or maybe you're brokenhearted and there's something that needs to be healed in you. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Ezer, our helper. El Olam, the everlasting God, the never-changing God. El, the strong one. When we are weak, we can go to him who is strong. He says, come to me. Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, God, that you are with us. But can I tell you what I loved? That the role he cherishes most and the name he holds most dear is Father. He has the heart of a father. Please grasp this with me. I know some of you might have had a father that was absent or abusive or angry or you could never please him. God is not like that. God is an absolute perfect good father. And if you are blessed with having a good father and you could relate to this, praise God. But I pray that all of us tonight can relate to this. Let's turn to John 1:12. It was already read, but let's read it again because it just confirms God is moving. John 1:12 says, yet to all who receive, am I reading too fast? I'll let you guys find it. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are his child. You can call him Father. We are his children. And through the scriptures, let me just tell you some of the things that I found. In Psalms, it says that his thoughts towards us outnumber the sand. In Zephaniah, it says he rejoices over us with singing. In Jeremiah, it says he's given us a future and a hope. In John, he's given us life and that more abundantly. In Deuteronomy, we are the apple of his eye. More than anything, as a good father, he desires to have a relationship with us. How do we have a relationship, guys? It's spending time together. It's spending time in our word. It's spending time in prayer. It's spending time in worship. This worship has been awesome. I've been in tears over this worship just because God is so personal. He's spoken to me so personal in the words of these songs that we've been singing. And how it's, he says, what's that song that we sang with the open arms? How does it go? Where he says, come run to me and nothing is like your embrace. Sorry to put you on the spot. Nothing's like your embrace. He is so good. He is our Father. That's what he wants with us. He wants to have that relationship. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he could have used any name to describe God, any name, but he used our Father, yours and mine. And he said, hallowed be thy name. Lord, bless your name for who you are. You are holy. He is good. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And his will is what he wants, what he desires. And we say, God, Dad, I know that you know better than I know. I trust, Dad, that you are taking care of things. I'm looking to you, Father. Your will be done. And give us this day our daily bread. And this spoke to me tremendously because doing this study, he would only give me a little piece at a time. I wanted to sit and study and do it all and have it done and then just kind of practice it, you know. But no, he would just give me a little tiny piece every time I went to go study. And what did that cause me to do? Be in his word more, you know. And he says, it's that daily bread, that manna. How many people here like to cook? Raise your hand, please. Okay, how many people don't really like to cook, but do it because you have to? Okay, well, we all cook, okay, in one way or another, unless your husband does it. You're blessed. But I like to cook and have leftovers. I like to make a big pot of beans, and it's easy. I just take the beans, heat a tortilla, and I have our burritos. And so, I was a sandwich person. I was never a burrito person. Now that I live in Mexico, it's totally changed our eating habits. Anyways, but I do that with spaghetti or with anything. I like to make extra so that I have all these leftovers in my fridge. But the thing is God doesn't want us to use our leftovers. He wants us to seek him daily, to really, truly seek him daily. Because the manna, what would happen if they kept it the next day? It would spoil. And sometimes we get something from the Lord and it's great, but we try to live on that for weeks. We can't, guys. We need to come to him daily, daily come to him. So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us not our sins as we've forgiven the sins of others. And God says, just forgive and you will be forgiven. And we need to be practicing that, guys. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God is our protector. He will do it. We need to come to him and ask him for these things. In Psalm 119, let's go ahead and turn there. As our Father, in Psalm 119, verse 57, it says, you are my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. And here where it says God is our portion, it's exactly what we need, our portion. In Psalm 16:5, it says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. And see, sometimes we think that God is denying us. We think we are deceived. There is another father, and he's called the father of lies. He tries to deceive us into thinking that our boundary lines are placed wrong. But that's not true. He is the father of lies. And in this, in Psalm 119:32 that Angie spoke about, it says, I run in the path of your commands. You have set my heart free. We have been freed from sin and bondage, and we can run in that. But as a good father, he has set rules. He has set rules. For children that don't have rules, they're unruly. You can't control them. And I've seen kids that unfortunately haven't been disciplined. And it's unfortunate because it's a disservice to those children. They need discipline. And God tells us in his word in Hebrews 12:6 that if we're his children, he's going to discipline us. And he disciplines us because we're his children, because he loves us. And so I just see that picture. I run. We're not burdensome. We're not burdened. We're not weighed down. But he set us free from that sin. I have Romans 8:15 that says, "For ye have received the For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Daddy. We come to him whenever we are in sin, whenever we have something to confess, whenever we need help, whenever we need peace, we cry, Abba, Father. We can go to him. And when we grow in this relationship with him, we transform from slaves to sons and daughters. And it's such a beautiful relationship. And as we cry, Abba, Father, because we need protection, don't we? We do. In Psalm 119, verse 114, it says, you are my shield. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in you. And I get this mental picture. I don't have visuals. You guys did so great with visuals this year. But I want you to just imagine just a father holding his little girl in his arms. And you could picture the security that that little girl feels. She feels her dad's strength. She feels his love. She feels protected. And God, when we go to God, see, if we don't go to him, if we don't, he's there waiting. If we don't go to him, we're not going to feel that. He's there and just waiting for us. We need to go to him and receive it and sit in his arms and sit in his embrace, and he will be our protector. And he desires to bless us. He does. He says, delight yourselves in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. We need to delight ourselves in the Lord. It is hard, I know, because we are constantly have distractions that are saying, delight in me. No, delight in me. Delight in me. And you're going, oh, wait. No, I need to delight in the Father. I need to delight in him. Because once we get our eyes off God, our desires change, don't they? They do. Once our eyes are on Jesus and we delight ourselves in him, that is when he will give us the desires of our heart, because we're not desiring the selfish or ungodly things once we when we have our eyes off of him. And like I said, we have an enemy. He is the father of lies. Something that Angie shared with me, something that she didn't get to share and I wanted to share with you guys, is, you know, that Goliath picture that she had. She studied on the name of Goliath, and she found out it says, he lieth. And we just started laughing. I said, yes, he lieth, you know. And we need to know, there is whispers in our ear that are not telling us words of truth. He lieth to us, guys, and we need to know, because God is not withholding good. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also among with him graciously give us all things? We ask, Lord, your will be done when we come to him in prayer. Lord, what you desire, not my will. He is looking to bless us and to indwell within us, change us from within. But something else that I wanted to talk about tonight is what breaks God's heart. And what breaks his heart is sin and disobedience. Why is he so grieved about this? It's because it separates us from him. It puts that plaque or plaque or what is that cholesterol that we talked with the heart, we need to confess, and that constant daily cleaning. We are clean. You guys remember when Jesus washed the feet? We come to Jesus, we are clean, but we're walking around and muddying up our feet. And so let him wash our feet. We are clean, we are forgiven. I don't want anyone to think that we have to constantly be re-forgiven to be his child of God, and you know what I mean, where you're living in that condemnation. No, it's those sins that will keep us from having a deeper relationship with God. And it's in the disobedience stops him from working freely within us. You guys, remember we learned 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful, God is just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Something else that grieves God's heart is our attitudes. Oh, I'm so guilty. My son is going to be 13. Can any of you guys relate? Anybody? Oh, and he started this attitude with me, and it breaks my heart. It does, because I want nothing but good for him. And, you know, I ask him to do something, and he just complains or gives me attitude, and I'm not like God. I get easily angered. I do. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But God shows me that, Stacy, that's how you are with me sometimes. You give me attitude. You complain when you ought not to. And I just think, oh, I'm sorry. And he shows me through my children how I am with him. He's that gracious. And we think that, you know, we're owed something. You know, our children can think, well, you know, I did this and I did this and I did this, so you need to give me this. And we can go to God thinking, God, I served you here. I did this for you, you know, and now where's my blessing? Give it to me. You know, and we come to God thinking we deserve this, but we don't. God will bless us in his own way and how he wishes. He wants the best for us. We don't like trials, do we? They're hard to go through. A lot of times we don't understand. You know, I put rules and stuff for my kids, and or I tell them no. And my kids don't understand a lot of the time, but I just think, you know, you'll understand when you're older. I try to explain it to them, and you know, we need to know, though, that God is for us, not against us. And though we're going through these trials, he's doing something within us, and we need to come to him during those times. Something else that grieves God's heart is people that are double-minded. We talked in the humble heart about, you know, being on the fence. And God is grieved for people that think that they can have one foot in the world and one foot with the Lord. But in reality, you're deceived because they go in different directions. You can't put one foot here and one foot here because you're going to be ripped in half. We need to choose today who we will serve. And I pray that if you have not chosen him as your Lord and Savior today, that you will do that. Something else that I think grieves God's heart is when we take what we have for granted. I'm guilty of this too. We forget how truly blessed we are. Ladies, sisters, we are blessed. But we start to think, you know, we start looking at what others have and thinking, you know, my car's not as good as that, or, you know, I don't have what Susie has, or my husband doesn't bring me flowers on Valentine's Day, or I don't have a husband, you know. And we start to, you know, look at all that we don't have. And from the beginning, he lieth. Remember, in the Garden of Eden, was trying to deceive Adam and Eve into thinking that God was holding something back from them. And let us not listen to those lies. God loves us with an everlasting love. With an everlasting love. And sometimes, you know, when we start to forget, we start to, we're prone to think that we did it. We start to do things, even in ministry, we could think, look what I did, you know? And God did it. God did it. God, every good gift comes from the Father of lights. Every good thing comes from above. We need to constantly be giving God the honor and glory and realize what he did for us. And the more we rely on him, the less we rely on ourselves. Open up now to, are you guys already to Psalm 119? If you are, good. Because Psalm 119, and my version is probably different than your version. So it says in Psalm 119, 109, it says, though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. And some of your versions, it says, though my life is constantly in danger. And that's the thing is, you know, when we forget, we start taking our life in our hands, taking, you know, that song, Jesus, take the wheel. I don't know that song really, but I know that line. And I know that we need to let him be in control and not ourselves, because when we put our lives in our own hands, we are in danger. And also in Psalm 119, verse 176, it says, I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. God is so good that he will come after us. And, you know, guys, it's so easy to get distracted and stray. I mean, it's happened to me so many times, and God has gently brought me back. And, you know, we could even just get too busy and doing the Lord's work that we forget to sit with the Lord. And let us not stray. Let us allow him to work in our lives. But it's so awesome because he's faithful to seek us out. He is faithful when we are faithless. And he's so patient and long-suffering. And that's who he is. He constantly will allow us to come back to him. Something else that grieves God's heart, and I know as a parent, is when my kids don't get along. When my children don't get along, it really saddens me. And God is sad, too, when we cannot get along in the body of Christ, in the family of Christ. And I'll never forget, I had the privilege of knowing my husband when we were teenagers. We were high school sweethearts, and we spent 4 years in the world together before we came to know the Lord. And when we were teenagers and in the world, and I'll never forget, I was at his house and he got in an argument with his brother and they started arguing, and then it got into a fist fight and they were duking it out in the street. And the picture, though, that was seared in my mind was their father, my father-in-law. He had tears just running down his face, looking at his children fight. And the thing is, you know, the enemy would love nothing more than to cause division, to cause discord, to separate friends, to not have us be loving to one another. And God says, you are family. It's our father. We are family, guys. We need to forgive. We need to move on. We need to put others first. It's only supernaturally. I know we are naturally selfish. We need to come to God and say, God, supernaturally, help me love this person that's hard to love, my sister. Help me, God, in this. He is faithful to do it. And the two commandments we already talked about, but I will say it again, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And it says the whole law is wrapped up in this. If we're able to do these things, God's heart also breaks when we're not taking care of one another. I just think of, you know, the poor and the widowed and the orphaned. And if we can open up to Proverbs 31:8 really quick. I'm so blessed to hear at all the different ministries that are going on within you guys and how you guys are doing this. So just an encouragement to you. In verse 31, verse 8, it's a mother speaking to her son, the king, and she says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." And guys, we are rich. And I could tell you, just living in Mexico, how much poverty there is. And we can get so wrapped up in a bubble here in the United States because we don't see it every day. And it just becomes, not that we want to, but it's just out of sight, out of mind, and we just forget because it's not around us all the time. But we need to be reaching out to those that need help. Now, it might be, might not be someone that's poor. It might just be like what they did for Esther and bringing her here, you know, and just lending a hand. It hurts God's heart when we have the ability to help and we don't. And we know that something good we can do and we hold it back. And I just want to encourage all of you tonight that if God has put something on your heart or a person in your life and you have the ability to help them, that you do it in Jesus' name, that God's, that our Father would be glorified because of the acts that you're doing. Another thing that grieves God's heart is rejection and unbelief. And I know that this grieves God's heart most because he knows the consequences. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of life, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. He knows what awaits if we don't confess or believe or if we continue to reject. But the door of the human heart is shut and he will not forcibly enter. He will not force his way in. He will knock and he will wait for you to open up to him. He will wait for admittance in. He's given us the ability to choose. And when we choose the wrong thing, he knows the repercussions that will follow in this life and the life to come, and his heart is broken. But God is so good that he constantly gives us opportunities to come to him. You know, after I gave my life to the Lord, I looked back and I can remember how many times God called me before I actually accepted him. And I never realized until God opened my eyes to that. But tonight, God is calling you too. He's calling all of us to come to him. And he's so good. The best decision we can do is to go to the Father. You guys remember the story of the prodigal son? I shared that last year. And just how he was in the dumps. And he said, "I'll go to my father as a servant." But God, well, the father, he had his arms open and he just blessed him, didn't he? And the father of lies, he lieth, will tell you, "No, you can't. You know, you're not good enough. You're a hypocrite. You're just going to go back to the world. Or you're scared." But God is so good. Those are lies. When we know God as Father, we don't run away from him. We run to him. When we know him as Father, we run to Dad. Dad! You know, there's a, I heard this analogy of this child that's hanging from a tree. And he's screaming, "Dad, help!" And the dad doesn't come out and say, "Did you do your chores? Did you, you know, let me see your report card." No, he goes and he helps. You call on the Father and he will run and help you. He has unfailing love. That's something I loved in Psalm 119, how many times I read, about his unfailing love. It does not fail. And it's so awesome to, you know, when I was at home, I was praying about this message, and I was just looking up, and I saw the stars, and in Ensenada, you could just see the sky so clearly, and I was just thinking, the King of the universe wants a personal relationship with me. And I was just in awe. I could not believe it. But he does tell us that we have a part in it. We need to seek after him. In Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and you will find, knock and the door will be opened, ask and it will be given unto you, knock and the door will be opened, seek and you will find. And those are action words. We need to put it into action and seek after him. God is so, so good as a father. He wants to lift us up and clean us off when we fall, encourage us and motivate us to move on when we are ready to give up, encourage us when we're sad. It says in heaven, he's going to wipe away every tear, take away all of our pain. He wants to listen and be there when you need to vent, when you need to talk. I love that he's a king and he's our father, so we're princesses, but we're in a battle, so we're warrior princesses. And I just love that picture, that we are warrior princesses and that we could come to the throne of grace boldly, with confidence. We can go to him, and there's nothing stopping us from going. He always has time for us. He wants to teach us right and wrong and train us up so that we might grow and be mature and complete, lacking nothing. He wants to bring us joy. And it's so awesome that we bring him joy. And he wants to fill us with that same joy. But again, ladies, we need to come to him. And I pray that tonight you go to him, that you pray, that you seek him, that your mind is renewed, that you let God do his work. Let him in to the rooms that you have shut off. Maybe last night you were scared to come forward. I pray tonight you would come forward. Allow, it's scary to open those rooms up, those rooms that we don't even want to go in ourselves. I pray that you open those rooms up. Allow God, the God of light, to clean out that room. It's a humbling thing, but it's a blessing. It is awesome. And I'm so excited that we're all sisters and that we're growing together, and our dad is so good and he's strong and he's mighty and there's none like him. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, Father, Daddy, thank you, thank you, thank you that we can call on your name. Thank you that you are good. Thank you that your word is true. Lord God, I pray tonight. I pray that strongholds would be broken down tonight. I pray that you would set free hearts that are in whatever bondage that they're in. I pray, Lord God, that you would bring peace to those that need it tonight, that you would bring comfort, a companion, Lord God. I pray that hearts would be yielded to you, that they would allow you to be first in their life. Thank you for being so patient and gentle with us, Lord. Thank you, God, that you're not hard and condemning, but you're so long-suffering with us. Work tonight, I pray, that your spirit would work in these ladies, in my sisters, in myself. Teach us, Lord God, what we need to do. We look to you as a guide, Father. I pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.